Children are staying with us today, amen, so the teachers can take a break and also enjoy this service. As always, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You will now pray and say, "Father, please cause your word to be mixed with faith inside of me. And let your word be profitable unto me in the name of Jesus Christ." Turn it into prayer and talk to God. Father, cause your word to be mixed with faith inside of me. And please let your word be profitable to my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you once again because you are always a good God. You are the God who has never failed us, and you are the God who will never, ever fail us. We come unto your feet this morning, Lord, to hear your word. So I'm asking, my Lord and my God, that you speak your word unto all of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Cause your word to touch our spirit, to touch our souls, and to touch our bodies, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And let all the glory be returned unto you. In Jesus' wonderful name we have prayed. Amen. We are going to continue where we left off on Friday. We started talking about divine settlement by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So please turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 6 to verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 6 to verse 11, because there were some things we could not cover on Friday because of time. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse number 6 to verse number 11. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." May God exalt you in the name of Jesus. He said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." May the enemy never devour you, in the name of Jesus. Verse 9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I pray that the Lord will make you perfect. I pray that the Lord will establish you. I pray that the Lord will strengthen you, and I pray that the Lord will settle you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've been talking about divine settlement. Sometimes in order for us to understand and appreciate the gravity of a word, we need to understand the opposite side of that word. Because when you talk about being settled, the opposite of being settled is to be unsettled. Hallelujah. To be unsettled. To be unsettled means to be in a chaotic situation. You can't tell what the head is, you can't tell what the tail is. To be unsettled means to live a life that is full of drama. And I don't mean that in a pleasant way. Hallelujah. To be unsettled is to live a life that is full of stress. Amen. To be worried. Sometimes it can lead to depression. Hallelujah. But that's not what God has called us for. That's not what God has in store for us. He wants us to be settled. Amen. Because the scripture we just read says that God will make you perfect. God will establish you. God will strengthen you. And that God will settle. That doesn't sound to me that is a God that wants us to go through trial by fire for nothing. Amen. But he taught us in this 1 Peter chapter 5 that we have an adversary who is looking around, seeking whom he may devour. But we already said we shall not be victims of the enemy in the wonderful name of Jesus. But God already knows we shall go through things. That's why he said after we had suffered a while. In other words, when we go through things that are unsettling for a while, he will now be the one to settle us. So I pray again, God will settle you. I said, God will settle you. In the morning, you shall be settled. In the evening, you shall be settled. In the name of Jesus Christ. There are several examples we can use from the scriptures. The first one that came to mind is the story of Anna in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you know who Samuel is, you will know who Anna was, because Anna was the mother of Samuel. Before Samuel was born, Anna went through fire. Hallelujah. If you just read verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret. Hallelujah. Because the Lord had shut her womb. Our adversary. Who is the adversary here? Some people will say the devil. It was not the devil. It was Penina. If you come from a polygamous home, you will know what I'm talking about. If you grew up in a polygamous home and one of the wife does not have any child, especially from my wonderful culture, she will be the butt of the joke at all times. God forbid she calls somebody else's child to go run an errand for her. You say, is it because you don't have your own? You want to kill mine with work? They will make life hell on earth for such a person. And that is what this woman went through in her own husband's house. It wasn't that the husband didn't like her. The husband loved her. In fact, the husband loved her more than the other woman. Maybe that's why they were jealous of her. I don't know. But this went on for years. And when it got to a point that she could not take it anymore, she cried out to God. She cried out to God. If you look at verse 10 and verse 11, you will see Anna's prayer. In verse 10, the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look unto the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, that will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hallelujah. How Anna knew what God needed, I don't know. Because at that time, God needed a prophet. Anna needed a child. So Anna now cried unto God and said, if you give me a child, I will give this child back to you. So God now said, well, I needed a prophet. You needed a child. Question met answer. The whole thing is resolved. The need of God was met. The need of Anna was met in the request of Anna. Hallelujah. You know, you hear, well, not that you hear, but let me tell us something. When a rabbit is pregnant, how long does it take for the pregnancy and for the rabbit to deliver? 20, 23 days, let's say 1 month. When an elephant is pregnant, how long does it take for the elephant to deliver? 3 years. If you take the baby of an elephant, put it next to the baby of a rabbit, tell me, which one would you pick out of the two? Elephant. Why? It's bigger, stronger. Maybe not cuter, but hallelujah. The fact of the matter is, all the children of Peninnah put together did not equal one Samuel. It took her years to get Samuel. But when Samuel landed, all the children of Peninnah put together, they did not equal one Samuel. Which name of Peninnah's children do we know? None. We just knew she had children. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible teaches us of the story of a particular widow. The widow was the wife of a prophet. Hallelujah. The husband served God, but he died. The Bible now says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did. In other words, he served, and yet he was in bondage up to the point of his death. Amen. What happened to this widow is that the creditors of the man now came to come and take away her sons because there was no way for them to pay the debt. So the creditor showed up and said, madam, I'm very sorry. Your children will become slaves because your husband owed us money. He couldn't pay. Unfortunately, he's dead. So in order for us to recoup what he owes us, we will take your two sons away. What did she do? She cried. Hallelujah. She cried out to Elisha and said, look, my husband, who is part of you, is dead. And you know how he served. Now the creditors have come. What are you going to do to deliver us from this? Elisha said, what do you have in your house? She said, I have nothing. I think God must have spoken to her because before Elisha could say anything else, she said, but I have a small bottle of oil. Elisha now said, aha, go and borrow vessels. In fact, borrow from all your neighbors. Bring them into the house. Shut the door. Just you and your children, and begin to pour the oil. The woman did as she was commanded. The oil did not run dry until all the vessels were filled and there was no more vessel in the entire community for them to borrow. He now went back. Okay, we have oil. What do I do with it? You're asking questions. Go and sell it and make money and live on the rest. Pay your debt. Live on the rest. If anybody say that God does not have a sense of humor, you are a liar. Because it was borrowing that got them in trouble. It is now borrowing that God used to deliver them. But don't say because God told them to borrow. If God didn't tell you to, don't go and borrow. Before you now call, our pastor said God delivered them by borrowing. I didn't say borrow. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is this. This woman did not keep quiet. If she had kept to herself, what would have happened? she would have suffered in silence. Suffered in silence. She already lost her husband. She's now about to lose her two sons. And in those days, if a woman does not have any man in the house, no husband, no sons, who will fend for her? She has no way to eat, no way to live. Hallelujah. But God settled a matter by asking her to go and borrow based on what she has in her own hand. Sometimes we don't know the value of what we have. We underestimate the blessings of God in our lives because in our own eyes they are too little. What you have in your hand, others are begging God for. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I pray God will make a way for somebody. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What about a man called Naaman? I'm just giving us an example of how God settled different people. Hallelujah. Naaman was a mighty man of valor. Naaman was the general of the Syrian army. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. I don't even know how they allowed a leper to become a general, but he became a general. I don't know how a leper could become so great in the land. Because in those days, anyone with leprosy, where do they put them? In a camp somewhere, they are not supposed to be found among, or in the community rather, because the leprosy could catch other people. They put them in the camp, but this man was free to walk around with his leprosy, and he was a great man. But everything in his life was perfect, except leprosy. He came to Elisha. Elisha didn't even come out. Gehazi came to him and said, there is one man outside waiting for you. He said that the king sent him here to come and be healed. Elisha sent a message, tell him, go and wash. Which pool or which river? Jordan. Dip yourselves there 7 times and you'll be healed. The man was furious. I thought the man of God will come out. He will wave his hand, call on his God, do all these acrobatic moves. I know we enjoy acrobatic moves. If I begin to somersault here now, you think it's anointing. Hallelujah. We love it. We love to see it. I'm telling the truth. But the fact of the matter is, God is not in the acrobatic moves. Amen. When God speaks, that's all you need. It is by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Angrily he left. I pray God will put people in your life that will give you godly counsel. Amen. Because we all need it at certain points in our lives. There was the slave girl who told him or told his wife about a prophet in Israel. She now came to him and said, look, if he has said you should do greater things, would you not have done it? He now thought, yes, I would have. If he told you to jump from a rooftop and you'd be healed, you would have done it. He said, yes, 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 I would have done it. But he's asking you to do a simple thing. Just go in the river, dip yourself 7 times. What do you have to lose? The man now came back to his senses. Utoloso. This girl is telling the truth. He now went, dipped himself. 1, nothing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the 7th time he came out, not a single trace of leprosy on his body. Why? He followed the instructions. He listened to counsel. And God settled him. Sometimes we always think the way that God will settle me, thunder must strike. You are waiting for for thunder to strike. That's how. No. It might be just a baby that will speak the word in your ear for you to know this is God telling you what to do. Never box God in. Naaman was settled in an unexpected manner. He didn't expect it. He thought it's going to be something glorious. That God will just show up in a grand way. Just like the Jews expected the Savior to come. They expected the Savior to be born as a king, but he was born in a manger. I pray we will not miss the appointment of our miracles. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What about David? When you talk about divine settlement, David was settled from day one. He fought a bear, he was settled. Fought a lion, he was settled. Met with Goliath, he was settled. And in 2 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible speaks of what happened at Ziklag to David and his men. So in battle still, David was settled. If God can settle the battle of David, he's more than able to settle your own battle. So I pray God will settle you in the place of battle in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Time will not permit me to go to the story fuller. What about Joseph? Joseph was equally settled. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Hallelujah. The father made him a coat of many colors. But somehow, out of jealousy, he found himself as a slave. From being a slave, he found himself in the prison. But did God forget about him? Absolutely not. Was he settled at the end of his days? He was settled completely. Settled completely. What about Job? The latter end of Job, according to the scripture, was greater than his beginning. May your latter end be greater. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. How you begin is not what matters. It is how you end that matters. Hallelujah. This life is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Some people might be sprinting past you. They're going, and you're watching them. Huh? How I wish I could run and catch up with these people. Look at what they've done. Look at your own time is coming. Your own time is coming. Your own time is coming. In the name of Jesus. And at your own time, others will envy you. And they'll say, oh, how I wish. Glory be to God. I pray none of us will miss our appointed time of our breakthrough, of our victory, of our blessings, of our favor, in the name of Jesus. The only way to avoid missing it is to always stay with God. Always stay with God. Let me say it again. Always stay with God. Let me explain it this way. The only way the enemy can finish us is when God is removed from us. That's the only way. As long as God is with us, I don't care what you are going through right now, he will see you through. But if God is removed, we are done for. In KJV, we are done. It is over. If God were to be removed. Let me give you an example. When Balak invited Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel, was he successful? Why? Because God was in the camp. Instead of him cursing, he started to bless. Hallelujah. You can imagine someone that was hired to curse you they look at you and started to bless you. And they started saying, you shall be blessed. You shall be uplifted. You shall be glorious. It shall be well with your days. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. But they were hired to curse. But they couldn't do it. Why? God was in the situation. Balaam now said to Balak, look, I can't pronounce curses on these people because God has blessed them. The only way for you to defeat these people is to make sure that God is no longer with them. Now say, yeah, how do I do that? Very simple. Go and find fine ladies from your village. Throw them into the camp of the children of Israel. When they start to commit sin with them, what will God do? God will leave. And when God leaves, it is over for them. And that was exactly what Balak did. And that was how the children of Israel fell. Hallelujah. They didn't fall because the enemy came. They fell because they lost their position with God. May you not lose your position with God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because only God can make sure we are settled. In all areas of our lives, only God. So we must make sure we do everything to keep our relationship with God. Let's go back to that 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to show us something there. 1 Peter, where we started from, 1 Peter chapter 5. Take a look at verse 9 for me. Just the first sentence in verse 9. He said, whom resist steadfast in what? Resist steadfast in the faith. What is your faith? Your trust in God is what you use to resist the enemy. Hallelujah. Your faith is your trust in your God. Your faith is your relationship with your God. And it is on that faith that you can resist every attack from the pit of hell against you. If we lose our faith, we lose everything. Never lose your faith. Never compromise your faith. Always make sure your relationship with God is intact. Let the entire world be falling. Let the entire world be against you. Let the entire world say you don't know how to do it. As long as God is telling you, you are okay with me. That is all you need. Your end shall be greater. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your end shall be glorious. In the name of Jesus Christ. But it can only be if we keep our But let me tell you this before we pray. It is your faith the enemy will attack. It is your faith. It is your faith. Go and check very well. If I go back to Genesis and look at what he said to Eve. What did the enemy in God? As God said. That was it. And he said, God did not say. She fell. If she had used what God said back to the enemy, there was no way the enemy would have overcome him. So your faith will be attacked. Hallelujah. Why do you think the Bible says we should take on a shield to repel every fiery darts of the enemy? Why? Shield of what? Faith. Shield of faith to repel every attack of the enemy because the attacks will come. But it is your faith they want to target. You must make sure no matter what, you don't lose your faith. It is in that faith you receive your joy. It is in that faith you receive your peace.
It is in that faith you receive your blessing. It is in that faith you receive your uplifting. It is in that faith that you see your destiny manifest. So if we lose that faith, where will those things come from? Never lose your faith. Let's rise up on our feet. I want us to pray. Hallelujah. Put on the screen Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. I like the way NKJV, you don't have to switch. The New King James says, be anxious for nothing. This one says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who? And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You're going to pray. I like to address the root of the matter. Amen. And it has to do with faith. Amen. So you pray, Father, settle my faith in you in the name of Jesus, that I shall not lose my faith no matter what I go through in life. In the name of Jesus, please talk to God. Cry out unto God. Father, settle my faith in you. Settle my faith, Lord. Settle my faith. Settle my faith. Settle my faith in the name of Jesus Christ, that I shall not lose my faith in you. In the name of Jesus. Settle my faith, O God. Settle my faith. Settle my faith. Settle my faith, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, settle my faith, that I shall not lose my faith in any way, in any shape, in any form. In the name of Jesus Christ. Settle my faith, Lord. Settle my faith. Settle my faith, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus. My God, I give you glory. My Father, I bless your wonderful name. Thank you because you have heard us. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. If you look in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, they call it the Hall of Fame of faith. Hallelujah. Starting with Abraham, starting with Noah, starting with Sarah, starting with all the giants of faith. The one thing that we can say in all their lives is that they did not lose their faith in God. Hallelujah. They did not lose their faith in God. That was why they can be written in the Hall of Fame of faith. Because they did not lose their faith. You pray again, Father, in the name of Jesus, I shall not lose my faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. Cry out unto God, mighty God, help me not to lose my faith. Help me not to lose my ways in you, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Cry out unto God, mighty God, help me not to lose my faith. Help me not to lose my faith. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me not to lose my faith in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. My God, I give you glory. My Father, I bless your wonderful name. Thank you because you are good. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 teaches us something. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are called according to his purpose. to them that love the Lord. In other words, to them that have faith in God. Hallelujah. All things work together for their good. In other words, what the enemy meant for evil, as long as we remain in the faith, God will turn it around for our own good. In the name of Jesus. If you look at all the men of faith that we're talking about, God turned everything around for their good, regardless of what they went through. Hallelujah. Joseph sent unto his brothers towards the end of the book of Genesis. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Hallelujah. They sold him into slavery thinking that was the end of his life. Not knowing, they just helped him to take the first step towards his destiny. What the enemy meant for evil, only God can turn it around for your good. So you are going to pray. Father, Father, turn my trials and tribulations into a testimony to your glory in the name of Jesus. Cry out unto God that God will turn it around for your good. He will turn it around and make you to be the one to be favored. What the enemy meant for evil, that is meant to destroy you, God will use it to uplift you. What the enemy meant for evil, that they are looking to bring you down, God will use it to uplift you. So cry out unto God, Father, only you can turn the situation around. So I cry out unto you in the name of Jesus Christ that you turn my trials, my tribulations, my suffering, turn it around, oh God, and use it to your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Cry out unto God. Only you can turn it around. Only you, oh God, only you, only you, only you. Turn the situations of my life around for your good, oh God. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Turn it around, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Turn it around, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Lord and my God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You pray again and say, Father, establish me and settle me in the name of Jesus. Talk to God. Father, settle me. Settle the situation of my life. Settle the challenges of my life. Settle, mighty God, all the obstacles along the way in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Only you can make a way where there is no way. So I'm asking, my Lord and my God, that you will settle me. Settle me in only the way that you know how, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Cry out unto God. Settle me, oh God. Settle me, oh God. Settle me, oh God. In the name of Jesus, settle my home, settle my life, settle my career, settle my children, settle every areas of my life, oh God. In the name of Jesus, cry out unto God, Father, only you can settle me, Lord. If you can settle David, settle Anna, settle Joseph, you are more than able to settle me. So, my Lord and my God, I cry out unto you, settle me in the name of Jesus Christ. Settle me, Lord. Settle me, Lord. Settle me, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus. My God, I give you glory. My God, we bless your holy name. Thank you because you are good. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I shared with you earlier the promises of God concerning us. You can find some of it in Jeremiah 29:11 and 3 John 2. Jeremiah 29 said that his thoughts towards us are not of evil, but they are of peace, to give us an expected end. To give us an expected end. to give us an expected end. What is your expected end? That's a question all of us must answer. What is your expected end? If we have no expectations at all, there is nothing for God to do. Hallelujah. But if your expectation is as high as a mountain, in other words, you know your God is more than able. And he said he will give you your expectations. Hallelujah. So what is your expected end? You now talk to God, Father, settle my expectations in the name of Jesus. Settle my expectations. How do you want your ending to be? Begin to mention it to God. Settle the expectations of my life. The expectations of my destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Settle the expectations concerning me, O God. Settle the expectations concerning my home, concerning my children in the name of Jesus. Settle the expectations concerning my work with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Settle the expectations, O God. Settle it, Lord. Settle it, Lord. Settle it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise, our God. We bless and magnify your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. Father, we magnify you. You're worthy of all the praise, worthy of all the glory. You're worthy of all the honor. Thank you for hearing us today. Thank you for reminding us of your promises towards us. Thank you for showing us that of a truth you are the only one who can settle all the matters of our lives. So, my Lord and my God, we commit our entire lives into your hands. We commit all the situation of our lives into your hands. We declare in the name of Jesus, we shall not lose our trust in you. We shall not lose our faith in you concerning whatsoever we may go through in this life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mighty God, because we have committed it into your hands, we know you have already settled it. So, mighty God, we know our end shall be glorious. We know our end shall be greater than our beginning. We know we shall all finish well to your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all the things that the enemy meant for evil, we know you have turned it around for our good. So, Father, we say thank you. We say glory be to your name. May your name forever be praised and glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.